Hi, I'm Katie Stone Perez, and welcome to GDC. There are amazing games showing here this week, and we have had the opportunity to meet with some amazing developers who are using the Unity engine to make their dreams come true. Let's go check out what some of those games are. I'm here with Keefin today with Monothetic and the game Beacon. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
So tell me a little bit about Beacon.
Beacon is a sci-fi action roguelike. You play as Freya, a highly trained military pilot who's crashed on an unidentified planet. All you have is your clone bay and your weapon, and you need to fight your way through the planet, upgrade your items, collect DNA, and most importantly, find your beacon so you can escape.
Very cool. So it's a beautiful looking game. Now, I know that you guys kind of ended up announcing at a very specific time for you. So how did you guys handle when you guys wanted to announce and kind of debut it to the world?
Oh, we really wanted to make sure we were ready to announce when it was the right time. We've been working on the game on and off for about 2 years, mostly part-time, since we all need separate jobs to sustain ourselves. So we just really wanted to make sure everything was polished, all the art and the gameplay was at a point where we thought it was ready to announce.
Very cool. So when you think about your guys' studio, tell me a little bit about how you guys are structured. I understand you guys are actually kind of all over the world.
Oh yeah, we all came from a background in the Half-Life 2 modding scene. So we all worked together on a few projects there. The only one released was Black Snow. And from there we decided, why not make commercial games together? So we've been working on this a few years since then. We're also very international. We have members on three separate continents, Thailand, the UK, and multiple areas of the US.
Very cool. And so is this your first game then that you guys have come together to make outside of the mod?
This will be our first initial release, yeah.
Very cool. We're so excited to have you guys coming to Xbox One through the ID
really
Xbox program.
We're really excited to be here. This is the first time we've really done a real exhibition of the game.
Very cool. Yeah, it's great. It looks great. Looks really fun. So tell me a little bit more about how does it work? Like, what are the ways that you guys just stay in sync, right? When you guys are all working your full-time jobs, right? Yeah. And this is kind of what you're doing in the evenings, I'm guessing, and weekends. How are you guys staying in sync with each other? And what are some of the successes to kind of having a team that's geolocated?
It's difficult at times. There are rough patches, but you just have to make sure you keep up communication. We use a lot of tools, Trello and Slack mainly, to just keep up with each other and keep up progress on the game.
Very cool. And how are you guys, who's actually the driving force behind the design of the game?
Me and Aaron, we are both the main designers of the game, and I handle a lot of the environment art and level design. So there are days where I'll just crunch for 12 hours pushing out new levels for the build, and then the next day I'll upload it and Aaron will put up some sounds for them.
Cool. And then what platform, what engine are you guys using?
We're running on Unity.
Very cool. And how has that been as your first time game dev experience? How has it been using the Unity platform?
It's been a big upgrade coming from Source, which is based from 2005. So there's a lot of nice tools we've been able to use to really push the game more.
Cool. When you actually think about some of the success you guys have now and kind of where you've kind of come in that journey, any lessons that you guys would have for other up-and-coming or aspiring people out there who are just, you know, working away at their jobs too but want to be making video games?
You just have to be sure you put the time into it. Like, every day after work, you need to go home. You need to sometimes take a night off from going out or spending time with friends. You just make sure you keep working at it constantly.
Cool. Well, we're so excited to have you guys on Xbox One. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
I'm here today with Tanya, who is the publisher of Rocket Fist. Thanks for joining us, Tanya. So tell us a little bit about the game.
Well, Rocket Fist is a game that is a little bit of a combination between dodgeball and billiards, and you're a little robot with a rocket fist, and you fire it at your frenemies, and you kill them as much as possible in a local or a co-op multiplayer. There is also a single-player mode where you will be able to go through a tower and defeat bosses and all sorts of little other robots that are infected with viruses. The game was pretty much completely made by one guy. His name is Daniel Massimento. He also has a sound designer, Thiago, right here, who's playing right behind me. And they've basically been working on this for a solid year and a half, and it's almost ready for release in Q2. And we're really proud of these guys. They've done a fantastic job.
I actually got to meet Daniel a couple weeks ago at the Full Indie Meetup in Vancouver, Canada, which was amazing. It was so fun to get to meet him in person. And actually, just the Vancouver community of independent game developers blows my mind. Now, you're part of that community as well, right?
Yes, I am.
So how have you leveraged that community? Like, what has that community meant to you as an indie game dev?
A lot. There's so much support on an individual and group basis in Vancouver. It's just great. Everyone gets together and mingles, and we all have a few drinks, and we just hang out, and it's fantastic. And then we do game jams, and we interact through Ludum Dares and all sorts of things. It's great. It's fantastic.
What blew my mind, too, is just the collaborative nature of it and the fact that everyone is participating. You have the smallest guys who are, you know, just getting their start out, and the guys and gals who are in college still, and then you have the super successful developers who have actually, you know, just made huge games that have really made a mark in the indie community, still participating in that space. And so I'm addicted, honestly. Like, I have to get up to Full Indie again soon, so it's very fun.
I will see you there.
Fantastic.
Definitely see you there.
Very cool. So now with this game, so tell us a little bit about what engine it's on.
It's on Unity, of course.
Very cool.
And he's done a great job, and he's been working really hard on it.
Very cool.
It started off, I've seen it since its inception. It actually started out as a game for a completely different system. It started with a bunch of cubes and spheres and evolved from there, and little bit by little bit he's added on, and it's what you see now.
Very cool. Well, we're so excited to have it as part of ID at Xbox and here at GDC with us. Thank you so much for taking the time.
No problem. And if you'd like to learn more, just go to the Rocket Fist website, which is rocketfist.me.
Cool. Make sure to check out the game. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm here today with Gordon Van Dyke and the game Kingdom. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So tell us a little bit about the game.
So Kingdom is it's a pixel art style game with we call it modern pixel art. So we're doing some kind of special rendering techniques to kind of give it a little bit more pizzazz in the
beautiful.
Visuals.
It's absolutely beautiful. I absolutely
Thank you.
Love it.
Yeah, and it's the game style is kind of a roguelike style to it with a lot of elements of strategy. So you're a ruler, and you have this land, and you're trying to build up this kingdom from scratch. And you've got to manage your economy. You have to pick how many archers you want because they hunt and defend for you. You have to pick how many engineers you want because they build your walls, repair them, upgrade them, help you upgrade your kingdom. And then eventually you'll add farmers and things like that. And you want to just make sure you have enough coins to keep building your kingdom. And then at night you get attacked. So those guys can destroy your wall. So then you need money to repair. And so it becomes this cat and mouse thing between you and the enemies and your money.
Very cool. And so assuming I do really good, what's that end game look like for me?
So there's an end game. So we try to keep these things secret. Like, we don't want to reveal too much to players. We're trying to bring back that mystery, right? Where you found something
cool.
When you were playing games, like old school games like Metroid or these games, and you found this weird item and you didn't know exactly what it did, but you had to experiment. We're trying to kind of add a lot of that element to it. But there is a win condition.
Very cool.
So you would be able to kind of defeat the enemies that attack you. Specifically for Xbox One, we wanted to update the game. So we are on PC right now, but we're updating it, and we're adding a system where when you win, you would start and you would sail off and you would leave your kingdom that you'd built up and you would start a new one. And we're going to add a leaderboard system as well
to it
so you can kind of compare and contrast with your friends and kind of have a little kind of asynchronous like competitiveness to the experience.
Very cool. So where did you guys get the idea for the game?
The original developer, he just sat down and he just wanted to make an interesting game. And his name is Thomas Vandenberg, and he's based in Amsterdam. And he was just like, I want to do something, and I'm going to minimize myself to 3 keys. And so the original version, it was just 3 keys on the keyboard that you used. And he made it in Flash. And then it like got a lot of positive reception, and he just released it for free. And then he decided, another developer based out of Iceland contacted him and said, oh, we should do this. And then they connected with us, and we had started a small publishing company, and now we're all former developers. And then we all just kind of synced together and started working on this and building it. Originally, we were only going to go mobile, but then we were like, no, this game is awesome on PC. We should do this first, PC first. So that's what we did, and then we realized, you know, some of us had computers set up on the couch and we were playing it on the couch, and we're like, we need to bring this to console. And I have a lot of great friends at Microsoft, so we went to them, to you guys first, and presented the game, and you know, everybody at Microsoft fell in love with it. So.
I absolutely love it. Like I said, the visuals, I love that pixel style that you guys have done with it. It just really immediately pulls me into the game and wants me to keep on playing. So.
Yeah, we had a goal that we wanted every frame to be a potential screenshot. So somebody, when they're playing it, every time they could take a screenshot and they would have this lovely visual pixel art in front of them.
You can actually really see that that's come through. So congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
You guys have really delivered on that. So what engine are you guys using?
We're using Unity. So we're actually on Unity 5.3.2.3, I believe is the current version.
All the different
I could be a little off on the points. But I'm pretty sure that's the one we're on.
So
right
as
now.
A small dev team, what have some of your best practices been with using the Unity engine?
I'd say we got ourselves kind of in a trap. So we had an issue that was in the engine that we couldn't fix ourselves. And then they released a beta update to the engine version. And that had the fix for the issue we had. And then we updated to those. But the beta ones, you know, they're a beta. So they tend to be less stable, and that, you know, and it could introduce new issues, which it did.
Yeah.
So we got stuck in this kind of loop of updating and then fixing one issue, but then a new one was introduced, or maybe a couple new ones were introduced,
yeah.
And we got trapped in this loop. And then I finally was like, "No, we have to stop this madness." So we stopped and started trying to force ourselves to work strictly with the public, you know, the final released versions, and kind of avoiding the betas for now. And because we are a smaller team, we can't get into the code and change some of these things that are a little bit more technical than we have the time to do.
No, I think that's actually really good advice for a lot of our viewers who are watching it, that, you know, in certain cases, it's great to move forward and take the betas, especially when you have larger developer team sizes, right, so that you can go in and address those issues. But when you are small core dev and have limited programming, you know, functionality within the team, it becomes more important to maybe take what's in the release cycle to really just make sure you have a streamlined roadmap.
Exactly. It's like, Do we let the engineers who are experts in this engine at Unity fix it, or do we try and take that challenge on ourselves? And then when we would do that, then you sacrifice time where you can work on gameplay stuff that's specific to your game and not, you know, in the technical stuff in the background, which, you know, which is obviously equally as important, but it, you know, it's not bringing more content to the experience.
Very cool. So how's reception for the game been so far?
It's been fantastic. It was like, you know, we were a little bit nervous. I mean, everybody is, especially when you put something you're so close to and you put it out there and it's exposed. And, you know, we've all seen comments on the internet and they can sometimes get kind of nasty, and then, but they can also be really, really delightful. And you know, people really kind of lift you up. And it's been really positive. We're in very positive on Steam. So that's always good when people give user reviews. I mean, those have become even more important than maybe than, you know, reviews and review scores from traditional magazines or Metacritic. So that has been really lifted us up, and it's made it, you know, opened opportunities for us, and it helped get everybody at Microsoft even more excited. But they had seen it before and saw the potential, so they knew ahead of time. So they saw it before we released. So yeah, everything's just. Yeah, it's been really good, so I don't know. I can't really say much more than that.
I'm humble bragging. We're super excited to have you guys release as part of ID at Xbox on Xbox One. I think, too, especially the new functionality that you guys are adding in with the leaderboards and that quest to, you know, not only make it to the end, but to keep going further, I think is a great addition to the game as well. So I'm excited for all of our console players to get to play it.
And there's quite a bit more new content. And I know we don't have the time to go over all of it, but we're adding seasons as another core thing.
Oh, cool. So how are those playing in?
So basically, it'll progress to winter. So you'll start like spring, summery, and then it goes to fall and then winter. And once you get to winter, everything goes into hibernation, so you have no more crops. You're not going to be able to develop more resources in your economy. So you basically have to try and defeat the portals in that time frame and beat it, you know, before, you know, during the winter phase, because eventually you'll run out of resources and you won't be able to repair anything, and you'll run out of citizens, and they'll be.
Does spring
they'll
ever
lose
come,
all them.
Or if
no.
I head into okay, so if I head into winter, I better be ready.
It's you know, winter's coming.
Winter
as
is
they
coming.
Say.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
and
you.
Thanks for being a part of the IDFX program.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. We're actually here today with the creators of Major League Baseball 2016. Thanks so much for joining us.
Great, thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit about 2016 and the game.
So RBI Baseball 2016 kind of picks up on where we were last year. The game has all the players, all the clubs, all the ballparks that you know and love, and it'll be out March 29th for $19.99.
Fantastic. So how is this game different than any of the other baseball games out there?
So the great thing about this game is that it's very accessible. So, you know, traditional sports titles, as they've matured over years, have become more complicated. Many more buttons, many more options. You know, a player that maybe isn't as sophisticated or plays games as much as another player kind of feels overwhelmed at times. Like, I just want to hit the ball. I just want to throw the ball. I just want to throw the basketball up, whatever.
Sometimes you just want to relax after a really long day.
Exactly. As opposed to having the game beat you or somebody else beat you with controls. So the thing about this is it's a two-button game. The primary button is the A button. You press that to swing, to obviously hit the ball, to pitch, to field, to do to everything in the game, as opposed to other games that maybe take a little bit more for you to get into it. This is something that's very simple, pick up and play, and very deep at the same time.
Very cool. So am I starting with a roster? Am I building a roster? How does that work?
So the game ships with full rosters for all 30 ball clubs, and throughout the season, we'll be giving roster updates. Oh, so right at launch day, there'll be a definite roster update, another one on opening day, and then throughout the season, every month, we'll have another roster update to make sure that your team is always right the way it is in the real life.
Very cool. So one of the things I've worked on games with IP, owned IP before, so obviously you guys have player likeness and things like that to deal with here. Yeah. How do you guys deal with that as a development studio?
So it can be challenging because there are players who get very, very, you know, very personal about their look and their style.
Definitely.
And you know, there are
it's
players.
It's part of the brand.
It's part of their brand. And the players now are their own brand. So some players will come into the camp and they'll be much more fit than maybe last year. And if we've still got them with a body type that's not quite what they've been working towards, they'll call us on it and they'll want us to adjust it. You know, players like, say, Andrew McCutchen, who, you know, has been very iconic because of his long dreadlocks, he cut his hair a few years ago and we had to cut his hair in the game. So what we do in that case is our roster updates are sophisticated enough that we can change the look and appearance of a player whenever we drop a roster update.
How cool that you guys have that support. Now, what engine are you guys actually running?
We're actually developing this in Unity.
Okay.
Yeah, which is great because our whole team, you know, on the production side, you know, and the management side, everybody's got experience in Unity, so we're able to collaborate very well.
So how was it getting up to speed in Unity and getting everything out the door?
You know, at the beginning, it's like anything. You know, it's a very complex game for Unity in the sense that we've got 30 distinct ballparks, day and night times, 1,200 players, all with their own likenesses. So building up that kind of structure for a project in Unity took some time, but once we had that there, it's made it very agile for our development process, and it allowed us to go in, make changes on the fly, and then be able to see what you have right away.
Now, year over year, too, since this is a major, you know, franchise that you guys are releasing yearly, are you able to build off a lot of what's previously
absolutely,
there?
Absolutely, absolutely,
cool.
And that's key. So, like, the main changes this year were we actually upgraded to Unity 5, which allowed us to do a lot more with lighting and structure, as well as it's just much more stable and sophisticated engine. So the great thing about using Unity is that the transition, you know, within reason from Unity 4 to the new Unity 5 has been relatively pain-free.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're so excited to have you on the platform, and make sure to go check out RBI Baseball 2016.
Great. Thank you very much.
I'm here with Kevin and the game Coffin Dodgers, which is showing here on Xbox One. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, so tell us a little bit about the game.
So Coffin Dodgers is set in a Florida retirement village.
Which I love. It's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, so it's a really nice concept for the game. So the Grim Reaper pays a visit one evening, says to the residents of the retirement village, "I'm here to take your soul." They say, "We're having none of this. There's plenty of life left in us yet. We're going to challenge you to a mobility scooter race to the death." So they challenge him to a tournament, the winner of which gets to live, the losers all die.
Very cool. It's one of those things, as soon as I saw the video footage, I was like, this is just an awesome game and it plays so much fun. So how does this game play a little bit different than the way other people might think of a kart racer?
Okay, so the main difference in this game is we've built this entire 3D open world, this Florida retirement village. So usually in kart races, you've got the individual tracks, but because we've built this huge town, we can have other game modes. So we've got a kind of crazy taxi kind of game mode called Crazy Grandad. So it allows us to have this kind of 3D roam kind of open world gameplay to it, which is a really nice element. And we've also got hand-to-hand combat. So like games like Road Rash you may have played in the past, yep. Where it's kind of got this battle element. That's a kind of main selling point, we think.
Very cool. Now, where did you guys actually come up with the concept for the game?
It's funny, my boss and managing director, John, he was stuck on a boat with a load of retirees in Lao by Cambodia. And he thought, this is going to be awful, I'm not going to enjoy it. But he ended up having the best time ever and thought, well, old people are really cool. Why not make them the kind of game rock stars for a change? Why not make them the hero?
Cool.
So that's kind of where we came up with the old people as being the kind of...
The heroes of
the game, yeah.
Very cool. Now, what is the background of your guys' studio?
So we've been going 10 years now, but in the past we've primarily been an animation and illustration studio. And it's only 2 years ago we kind of decided we want to start making our own IP and why not make some games. A lot of the staff were already from a gaming background, so it just kind of made sense.
Very cool. And so when you guys think about coming to Xbox One, what engine are you guys actually using?
We're using Unity.
Very cool. And how has that been so far?
It's been great, yeah. I mean, I do a lot of the 2D art, and it's really kind of... It's a really nice platform to use. I find it really easy to kind of do the UI and do the interface with it. It's great, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us here
at GDC.
That's no problem. Yeah, no, it's been awesome. Have a great show.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Thanks.